Meta Practice V1. Chapter 13. Tracking Your Growth. Chapter 13. Tracking Your Growth. How do you tell if this practice is working? This is a more practical and more important question than it sounds. Many practitioners drift away from contemplative work because they cannot tell whether anything is changing. The mind has poor instruments for self-measurement, especially in domains as subtle as mood and orientation. We tend to underestimate gradual change because we adjust to it. Fortunately, the older traditions developed reliable indicators of progress, and contemporary research suggests they are largely correct. This chapter gives you four overlapping ways to track your own growth, plus a simple journaling practice. Indicator 1. The Metanizamsa Sutta's 11 Benefits. The earliest and most concrete list is the 11 benefits given by the Buddha in the Metanizamsa Sutta, the Discourse on the Benefits of Loving-Kindness. The list is below. Some of these are immediately falsifiable from your own experience. Others are more subtle. The first 8 are particularly easy to track, and modern research broadly supports them. You sleep soundly. A calmer mind sleeps better. This is one of the most reliable changes most practitioners notice in the first weeks of consistent practice. You wake up happily. The mood you fall asleep in tends to seep into the morning. You don't have bad dreams. A reduction in the frequency or intensity of distressing dreams. This effect is real and consistent, though the underlying mechanism is debated. People love you. Your relationships improve. People sense the orientation. Conflicts soften. Friendships deepen. Both clinical research and ordinary feedback from people in your life can confirm this. Animals love you. Animals, including ones you don't know, respond to your presence differently. This is more easily noticed if you spend time around dogs, cats, or wild birds, but it shows up in subtle ways everywhere. The world seems to support you. Or, in the more religious framing of the original, deities protect you. Read this however your worldview allows. The thing being pointed at is real. When you stop adding ill will and grasping to your situations, situations tend to go better. You are less easily harmed. Read this metaphorically rather than as a literal claim about fire or knives. A mind not building enmity attracts less interpersonal trouble. A mind not consumed by ill will is harder to destabilize. You can concentrate quickly. A mind not preoccupied with grievance or fear settles easily into focused work. This is well supported in the meditation research, including for LKM specifically. Your face is clear and bright. Stress reduction visibly affects the face. Practitioners often look younger and more rested than they did before. You don't die in confusion. A mind trained in metta has resources at the moment of death that an untrained mind does not. If you don't reach further, you'll be reborn in a Brahma realm. Read this however your worldview allows. The plain reading is, if you do nothing else with your spiritual life, doing this one thing is enough to lead to a deeply favorable result. The minimum return on the practice is high. Indicator 2, the Brahmaviharas as KPIs. Beyond metta, the older Buddhist tradition lists 3 other boundless qualities, karuna, compassion, mudita, sympathetic joy, and upekkha, equanimity. These are sometimes treated as separate practices. In the framework of this book, they are better understood as natural emanations of metta when applied to different situations. They are the metta orientation showing up correctly given what the world is doing. This makes them excellent indicators of how well your metta practice is going. The 4 operate roughly like this. When you encounter a being who is happy and well, metta naturally flowers as sympathetic joy, mudita. You actually feel happiness at their happiness. When you encounter a being who is suffering, metta naturally flowers as compassion, karuna. You feel a desire to relieve the suffering. When you encounter a situation in which nothing can be done, or in which acting would do harm, metta flowers as equanimity, upekkha. You hold the situation in care without grasping or pushing. When you encounter ordinary moments, neither dramatic happiness nor dramatic suffering, metta itself, as warmth, just continues. In other words, if you are practicing metta well, you will naturally find yourself feeling more sympathetic joy at others' good fortune, more compassion at others' suffering, and more equanimity in difficult situations without having to practice each one separately. Increases in these three are some of the cleanest signals that your metta is taking root. The contrary is also instructive. If you find that someone else's success makes you feel diminished, or that someone else's pain makes you feel annoyed, or that hard situations leave you flailing, your practice has more work to do. That's not a failure, that's information. Indicator 3, the three poisons, reduced. The Buddhist tradition also identifies three primary poisons: greed, insatiable wanting, hatred, ill will toward people and situations, and delusion, fundamental confusion about how things are. Reductions in these are some of the clearest measures of progress. Specifically, less greed, less compulsive desire for more, less clinging to possessions, less identity attached to consumption, less dependence on external validation. Less hatred, less ill will, less rumination on grievances, less hostility toward difficult people, less internal hostility toward oneself. Less delusion, clearer perception of one's own motives, fewer self-serving stories, more willingness to update in the face of evidence. A useful self-question. Compared to a year ago, am I less driven by greed, less consumed by ill will, less confused about my own motives? If yes, the practice is working. If no, examine which is sticking and apply more attention there. Indicator 4, your relationships. Probably the single most reliable real-world indicator is your relationships. Are the people who know you well noticing a difference? Are conflicts getting smaller and resolving faster? Are difficult interactions losing their sting? Are people drawn to you in ways they weren't before? Are you drawn to people in ways you weren't before? These are visible changes. Ask the people closest to you. They will tell you the truth, especially if you ask them not to flatter you. A second relational indicator is how you feel after interactions. Practitioners often notice that ordinary social interactions, even with strangers, start to leave them feeling slightly better rather than slightly drained. The transactions become microdoses of warmth rather than microdoses of friction. A simple tracking practice, the daily review. The single most useful tracking practice I know is a short evening review. It takes 5 minutes. Do it before sleep, with or without writing. Where did I stay in metta today? Bring to mind 2 or 3 moments where the lens was clear, a moment of warmth toward yourself, an interaction handled well, a return after a drift. Feel them again. Let yourself be glad about them. Don't skip this part. The practice rewards itself. Where did I drift? Bring to mind a moment where the smaller lens took over. Be specific about which lens: was it status, fear, comparison, resentment, image? Don't moralize. Just notice. What would return have looked like, 1 step earlier? This is the key question. Mentally rehearse the moment again, but this time imagine the return. Feel what it would have been like to catch the drift 1 step sooner. Recommit, briefly and without drama. Tomorrow, I will try again. Optional, sleep on the warmth. End the review with a few moments of generated metta, especially toward yourself. Let that be the last thing in your mind before sleep. This is one of the more reliable ways to invoke the sleep soundly, wake happily effect. A weekly version of this review, slightly longer, slightly more reflective, can be even more useful. Many practitioners find it valuable to keep a short journal, a few sentences a day, expanded once a week. The goal is not to produce literature. It is to produce pattern recognition over time. What progress actually looks like. A note of realism, progress is not linear. You will have weeks when the practice feels easy and natural and weeks when it feels remote. You will have months when you feel transformed and months when you feel like you are starting over. This is normal. What you are looking for, over the long run, is trajectory, not consistency. Are the trough days less low than they were a year ago? Are difficult people less destabilizing? Is the morning meditation more easily generated? Is the daily review showing fewer dramatic drifts and more small ones? These are the signals that count. Ignore the day-to-day fluctuations. Track the year-over-year shape. In my own life, the most striking thing about long-term metta practice has been how completely the floor has risen. Bad days are now more like average days from a few years ago. Average days are now more like good days from earlier. Good days are something I would not have known how to imagine before the practice. That floor-raising effect is what compounds over decades. It is, in my experience, the largest gift the practice gives.